Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Christ, to thee with God the Father and O Holy Ghost to thee, hymn and chant and high thanksgiving and unending praises be, honor, glory, and dominion and eternal victory evermore and evermore. Amen. Over this last week, we have, of course, heard about the birth of Jesus. And this is, and I think we make a point of saying this each and every year, this is a turning point in history, that the Word, who was in the beginning with God and who was God, he became flesh and dwelt among us. And it is a turning point because he never turns back after that. From then on, the Son of God is one of us, not merely our creator, not merely a spectator of what goes on earth, or even something like a guide and protector, but he is one of us, human, mortal. And it is hard from this late date to know exactly what faithful people in Judea and Galilee thought that this one, the one that God had promised, would be like. Obviously not many, perhaps maybe Simeon and John the Baptist accepted, recognize how it will end. But the faithful did at least know some of what Simeon and Anna knew. They knew that the Christ was to be salvation. Therefore, this child would be consolation and redemption for God's people. And so, salvation, consolation, redemption. These all sound like good things, do they not? And yet in our reading, reading this evening, we had Simeon tell Mary and Joseph that this child will be a sign that is opposed. And when you hear that advice from Simeon, especially so early in the story, no less, you have got to be thinking, wait, who in their right mind would be against salvation? Who is opposed to consolation, to redemption? Well, as you know, if you turn to the end of the gospel, you can see that there are quite a few people who end up being against Jesus. And therefore, against all of these things as well, even if they do not mean to be. Who in their right mind? That might be the question that pops into our heads, but it is based on a false premise. Namely, the premise that being in our right mind is something that comes naturally to us. That people should just be in their right mind most of the time. Especially on important things. And we understand that taste may differ. Everyone has a little bit different preferences. But something as serious as salvation? Come on. Let's get it together. And if somehow your experience in something like politics, for example, hasn't shattered this expectation for you that we should come together on important issues, then simply take Simeon at his word. This child, Jesus, the Savior of the world, the redemption and consolation of God's people will truly, in fact, be opposed. Because we are not in our right mind. But to be in our right mind takes a miracle. It takes the miracle of conversion. And you know that there are many people out in this world who are not converted. Therefore, they do not look to Jesus as Savior, as consolation, as redemption. And especially for some of you who are older, you could probably talk about this reality using real-life examples from your own lives. Pastor Walter mentioned a few weeks ago that back when he was in college, if you said that you attended church weekly, people thought of that as a good thing. They looked up to that. But he also said, this is not the case anymore. This is odd. It sticks out. But even broader than each of the anecdotal experiences that we can bring, and looking further back into modern history, You know that places that were traditionally Christian, places where cathedrals still stand, that many of those countries cannot be considered Christian in any meaningful way anymore, and that those cathedrals are attended more by tourists than they are actual worshipers. And furthermore, you know that in the realm of truth, it is not the Scripture, or it is not Christians who are looked to first, but rather to other talking heads who are wearing suits or lab coats, and whose wisdom does not come from the Word of God. And these are things that have happened in our modern world, but I will tell you, they are not first. There never has been a golden age where everyone believes, where most people are in their right mind, even if that percentage or that number may ebb and flow from time to time. We heard on Christmas Eve, Caesar Augustus, he is the one who called for the census. This is the reason Joseph and Mary are going to Bethlehem. This is the reason Jesus is born in a stable. That Caesar did not consult the Scriptures. But further on, if you want to look forward to next week when the Magi come to Herod because they had been following the star, Herod, the guy who built the temple or rebuilt the temple, he doesn't know where the Christ is to be born. He has to ask others. And then when they give him the answer, apparently no one accompanies the wise men to find out if the Christ actually was born. I am sure that in many ways, and probably the most important ways, that age was not that different from our age. I assume that most decisions are made taking things like money and status and practicality into account. Sure, the Scriptures were around then, and yes, so was the temple, and there were synagogues. But you notice as the gospel proceeds that when Jesus gets to preaching and teaching, there is no place that he comes across where he is simply thought of as totally normal. This is exactly what we were expecting. That is said by no one in the gospels. But you find that when you read the Gospels, what sticks out is when you find someone who does believe Jesus. Jesus himself points this out a couple of times when he says something like, "I haven't even found faith like this in Israel." But in our gospel reading tonight, we have two of those people. And we find them in a short amount of time, Simeon and Anna. And they are different. They are in their right mind. But this is only so because, as we said earlier, they have been converted. The Holy Spirit had worked upon their hearts to believe the words of God. And Simeon and Anna see this baby, and they see salvation and consolation and redemption. In a world, their world, that was filled with poverty and pain, and it was filled with suffering and death, Simeon and Anna see this child, and they are filled with joy. Anna gives thanks to God. Simeon says, "You know what? I can die in peace now because I have seen the salvation of the Lord." And I hope you too think this as well about the Christ child. And not just in remembering his birth long ago, I hope you can say that Jesus has come to you, that you have heard and believe his words of forgiveness in your ears, that you have been washed clean when you were baptized into his death and resurrection, that you have tasted his body and blood and then returned to your seats, to these pews, to sing with joy Simeon's words, that you too can depart in peace because you have seen the Lord's salvation. And I hope that you can and will do that because all of that is true. Your sins are forgiven. You have been united to his cross and empty grave in your baptism. He has fed you his body and blood. And so you can sing. And if you can do so, then you are in your right mind. And if you can do so, I have to warn you that this will stick out at times, just as it does in the Gospels. Simeon was prophetic when he said that Jesus would be opposed. This is still true today because he is still at work today. His words, his deeds are still doing their thing, and thus he is still being opposed today. And so will those who believe in his words. They will stick out. As we head into a new year, as we head into 2019, take note that it is an upside-down world and that madness is the norm, which makes belief and being in your right mind seems to most like crazy, even dangerous. But in a world filled with poverty and pain, suffering and death, you have Jesus. So you have consolation and salvation and redemption and joy in him. And let this be the peace of God which passes all your understanding, but guards and keeps your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus forever. Amen.